Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
Ministry, and also in helping other churches at Gospel Advocate. He has a great opportunity to get to work with the local congregation at Hart Street and then also to help congregations all over. We'll tell you that with our Future Ministers Camp that we had just a few months ago, we had about 43 or 44 teenage boys that came to Gospel Advocate, and they hosted us and really had a great program lined up for that afternoon. And of course, that really excited the boys. They had sweet tea and Cokes ready when we got there, so they were already a hit after that. But that was probably one of the highlights of the trip for our boys at the Future Ministers Camp. And so I'm just thankful for all that's being done there and all that he's doing. And so with thinking about the perspective on impacting someone's eternity, I look forward to hearing the message he has for us. So I'm going to ask Manzo to come and speak to us.
I want to express my appreciation to Brother Andrew, your very fine pulpit minister. He's such a young man. All I can say is I used to be his age. But I've known him for a number of years now, and I appreciate him. I appreciate his fine spirit. I appreciate the very meaningful way that he shares the message of God's Word. And I'm glad that I have the opportunity to be here tonight. I want to thank him and the elders of this very fine congregation for inviting me to come and to share a lesson with you tonight. As we think in terms of the church on a mission, I have been specifically requested to address impacting someone's eternity. Impacting someone's eternity. I would like to relax and make myself at home, if I may. Is that all right with everybody? If I just make myself at home, if I just take for granted that I'm actually at Hart Street. I do bring you greetings from the Hart Street congregation, which meets at 11 Hart Street in Nashville, in South Nashville, not too far from the fairground, not far from Trevecca Nazarene University. And really, we're not that far at all from the Gospel Advocate Company. Our two elders, Gerald Daniel and William Prow, along with the members of Hart Street, send their regards. I also bring you greetings from the Gospel Advocate Company, especially Neil Anderson and Glenda and Neela Whitfield. Some of you are probably aware that our president of Gospel Advocate, Kerry Anderson, died unexpectedly. He was funeralized two Saturdays ago in Nashville. So continue to keep the family in your prayers during this time of bereavement as they are making their adjustment as best they can to the loss of Kerry Anderson. Your prayers are coveted and your prayers are greatly appreciated. When it comes to the concept of impacting someone's eternity, I want to call attention to a foundational, fundamental passage of Scripture, Acts chapter 2, that august day on which the Church of our Lord had its beginning, had its birth. Peter was given the privilege of publicly proclaiming the glorious gospel message, that inaugural message, and as he was bringing that lesson to a grand climax, he said, starting with verse number 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter responded by instructing them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward or crooked generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They were impacted for eternity. Their eternity was impacted. The word of God, the gospel of Christ, penetrated their hearts and caused them to cry out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter explained to them what particulars they needed to be aware of, what remedial measures need to be taken. Those who accepted the message, those individuals complied with the stipulated conditions that had been set forth, and that very same day, some 3,000 were baptized, had their sins washed away, forgiven. Those persons, all of them, were impacted for eternity. The gospel still has penetrating power. The gospel still has impacting power. And the blessed thing is, we as individual children of God, we have the not just the obligation, but we are blessed with the wonderful privilege of being able to impact the eternities of multiplied millions. And we're going to talk to you about how that can be done. But first, let me speak about the meaning of impacting someone's eternity. Secondly, I want to speak about the mandate for impacting someone's eternity. And thirdly, I want to speak about the methods for impacting someone's eternity. Now, when I think about the word impacting, as I will be using it, impacting involves having a deliberate, powerful, positive, and significant influence in and on the life of another person to a destiny-determining degree. What it boils down to is impacting involves relating to another person, someone, in such a way as to lead them or to motivate them to take the steps that are necessary that will change, in essence, their destiny. To change their destiny eternally. Of course, by someone, we simply mean some person or somebody. A person or an individual made in the image of God who can be saved or lost. When we look in our Bibles, and how many of you have your Bibles with you this evening? Anybody have your Bible? Hold your Bible up, if you don't mind holding it up. All right, there's one. Now, if you have a red Bible, hold it up. Anybody with a red Bible, hold it up. Where's that? Okay, there's a red one. We have any other red ones? No other red Bibles in the house? Okay. When I say red, I don't mean R-E-D. I mean R-E-A-D. So if you have a red Bible, go ahead and hold it up. All right. That changes the dynamic, doesn't it? Yes. All of us, hopefully, have red Bibles. I want you to look at two passages with me as we think in terms of impacting someone's eternity. Now, the first one is from Matthew chapter 7. I want to just simply read verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, keeping that passage in mind, I want you to now turn to another passage, same book of Matthew, chapter 25. Here depicted is the great judgment scene. The sheep gathered on the right hand, the goats are gathered on the left. Do we have any goats in the house this evening? Any goats in the house? No goats. Man, that's wonderful. Elders, we are blessed to have you as elders, because among all of the members of Gray Mere in the auditorium, under the sound of my voice presently, nary a goat is present. And that's good, because the destiny of the goat is not something that we like to contemplate. The destiny of the goats is lamentable. But the destiny of the sheep, those on the right hand, commendable. It's something that the sheep can look forward to. Notice verse number 41 with reference to the destiny of those on the left. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, the devil and his angels are are beyond the reach of the grace of God. They have no possibility of being saved. Their destiny has already been predetermined. Their fate has already been sealed. They are destined for the everlasting fire. But fortunately, the Lord has something wonderful in store for those of us who are Christians, for those of us who are sheep, for those of us who are faithful followers of the Lord. In verse number 42, he says, "For I was and hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not." Then shall they also answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee?" Then shall he answer them, saying, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it not to me." And these, the ones on the left, shall go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous into life eternal. We have two destinies that are set forth in this last verse. Both involve eternity. One group shall go away into everlasting punishment. The other group shall go into life eternal. Now, interestingly, the devil desires for as many of us as possible to be lost. He is willing to do everything within his extensive power to undermine, to sabotage as many as he possibly can to cause them to be lost. He wants to impact your eternity. He wants to impact the eternity of those you love. He wants to sabotage the salvation of those who are part of the body of Jesus Christ. He wants to take advantage of us. We are warned in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, "Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Somebody has indicated that misery loves company. Back when I was a boy growing up in Marigold, Mississippi, Brother Andrew, one of the expressions that was used to get little children who were misbehaving to behave was, "If you keep on misbehaving, the devil is going to get you." Little children kind of drew up at the prospect of the devil getting them. They said, "You better straighten up, boy. You better behave, or the devil is going to get you." And of course, back at that time, when I was attending the New Morning Star Baptist Church east of Marigold, close to the Sunflower River, I did not understand that one day the devil was going to get got. Is that proper grammar? The devil was going to get got. And of course, his destiny is already determined. He knows exactly what his eternity is going to be like. But he wants to get as many of us as possible to be lost. He wants your husbands lost, your children lost. He wants wives to be lost, parents, cousins, nieces and nephews, uncles and aunts, grandparents. He does not want to see anybody saved. So we have the tremendous, the awesome obligation and responsibility to impact someone's eternity. As we live from day to day, we have the responsibility of impacting everyone's eternity that we possibly can. People made in the image of God possess an eternal nature, a spark from God Himself. We possess a soul that can be saved or lost. The concept of eternity or eternal is defined as the quality or state of being eternal. We sing sometimes, to Canaan's land, I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. My darkest nights will turn to day, where the soul never dies. Each of us is destined to spend eternity somewhere. It is our privilege, as well as our obligation, to share the saving message of the gospel with others that we might impact their eternity. My mother was born in 1922. In 1950, while she was carrying me, she had the opportunity of hearing a preacher whose name was James Cothran, one of the preachers influenced greatly by the inimitable Marshall Keble. He came to the small town in the Mississippi Delta called Marigold, and under a tent he preached the gospel of Christ. My mama, who grew up in Pickens, Mississippi, out from Yazoo City, Mississippi, had grown up in the Baptist church in Pickens. And when she married my dad and moved to the Delta with him, she became a member of the New Morning Star Baptist Church. And Dad became a deacon there. My mama and a number of others from our community went to attend this series of meetings that were being done by Brother James Cothran. And after listening attentively to the gospel preached for several nights, my mother, along with a number of others, decided to walk out on the pleading terms of the gospel message, and they were baptized for the remission of their sins and were added to the church of the Lord's choice. About 14 years later, I was privileged to obey the gospel in a little town called Mound Bayou, Mississippi. For those years, my dad remained a Baptist deacon, remained a member of the New Morning Star Baptist Church. But I was delighted that in November of 1965, 2 months after I obeyed the gospel of Christ, my dad, attending a worship service one morning when the invitation was given, he walked down the aisle, gave Brother Ernest Macafield his hand and gave God his heart, made the sweetest confession on mortal tongue that he believed Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. And he submitted to baptism in water for the remission of his sins and became a member of the Church of Christ. Mama impacted his eternity. She impacted my eternity. And she impacted the eternity of all 14 of her children. 8 boys, 6 girls. In reality, there were 15. We had a little sister who died shortly after birth. But all of my brothers and sisters obeyed the gospel of Christ. And then my dad did the same. Mama impacted Dad's eternity as well as mine. She didn't fall away during the intervening years. She didn't lapse into an unfortunate state of unfaithfulness. She maintained her fidelity, her loyalty, her commitment, her devotion, her dedication to our Lord. And we are delighted that she has 2 sons who are gospel preachers. Abraham Jones, the son who is just older than I, preaches at the Southside congregation in Greenville, Mississippi. Great preacher. And I don't say that simply because he's my brother. He's a good preacher. Very dedicated. Love him and appreciate him. One of my very best friends. Abraham has impacted the lives, the eternities of many. It's all because of Mama. Turn with me to Acts chapter 11. Peter was summoned to Caesarea, to the home of a centurion called Cornelius. The Bible says, verse number 24 of chapter 10, I said 11, but I meant chapter 10. Chapter 10 and verse 24. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. He was concerned about impacting the eternity of those that he was closest to, and those individuals to whom we are closest should definitely receive priority as we seek to share the saving gospel of Christ with them. Some of you might have heard of what somebody has dubbed the Fran plan. Anybody ever heard of the Fran plan? The Fran plan is a plan whereby we can share the gospel with those who are within our circle of influence. Fran, F-R-A-N. Friends, relatives, acquaintances, and neighbors. That's the Fran plan. I am impressed with Cornelius. He was not just concerned with himself, but he was concerned with his family. He wanted them to be saved. He wanted to impact their eternity. He was concerned about his friends as well, his near kinsmen, his kinsmen rather, and near friends. Now he's explaining to Peter. Now Peter has arrived in verse 33. He says, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then in verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Those individuals, listen attentively to the gospel message. And they bowed in humble and submissive obedience to it. They were baptized for the remission of their sins. When Peter went back to Jerusalem and conferred with his colleagues, he explained what had happened, that he had been summoned, he had been sent for. In chapter 11, he said that he had been sent for this purpose, who shall tell thee words, talking about Cornelius, whereby thy and all thy house shall be saved. And he says, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. He referred back to that august day on which the church of our Lord came into being, the great day of Pentecost. He said he had been summoned that he might tell Cornelius and his house words, gospel words, that would result in him and his family and his friends being saved. The words that penetrated, pierce the hearts of Peter's auditors on Pentecost. Those same gospel words penetrated the hearts of Cornelius, his family, and his friends. And they became Christians. They were impacted for eternity. Their destinies were changed because the gospel was designed for them as well. It was designed for all of us. I think about the Syrians. I think about the rebels. I think about the Palestinians and Arabs and the Israelis. The gospel is for all of those. All of those need to be impacted by the gospel message. J.M. McCaleb, great missionary to Japan, wrote the song, "The Gospel is for All." Of one the Lord has made the race, through one has come the fall. Where sin has gone must go his grace. The gospel is for all. The blessed gospel is for all. The gospel is for all. Where sin has gone must go his grace. The gospel is for all. Say, not the heathen are at home, beyond we have no call. Must thou be saved and thou alone? The gospel is for all. The blessed gospel is for all. The gospel is for all. Where sin has gone, must go his grace. The gospel is for all. And we have the responsibility and the obligation to impact someone's eternity. We do it one by one. Because everybody needs to be saved. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, the greatest giver, so loved the greatest degree, the world, the greatest company, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever, the greatest opportunity, believeth the greatest simplicity, in him the greatest attraction, should not perish the greatest promise, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, everlasting life, the greatest possession of one whose eternity has been impacted. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Paul spoke to the Areopagites of ancient Athens in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31, saying, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. For he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained." I was waiting for that, Andrew. He told me about that bell. Yeah, he said it might startle you. So that means I have just 25 more minutes, right? I'm teasing. I'm almost finished here. But as we think about the mandate for impacting someone's eternity, all of us are mandated. We are authoritatively commanded to impact someone's eternity. What was that? Did somebody say something? Okay. Maybe I'm hearing things. But we have an authorization from Jesus to act, to share the message of the gospel. He said, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. We have the obligation and privilege, the divine mandate, to share the saving message of the gospel. Paul to the Romans, in Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, he said, "For as much as in me is, I am now ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." We have the mandate. And the method is twofold. We proclaim the gospel by both life and lip. We teach it with our lips. We illustrate it with our lives. As we close out, Edgar A. Guest wrote the poem that has remained one of my favorites. "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye's a better pupil, more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. The best of all the preachers are the ones who live their creeds. For to see good put in action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. For I might misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there is no misunderstanding how you act and how you live." We can impact someone's eternity by sharing the message of the gospel. That's indispensable. But by living out the reality of that message in our own lives, illustrating its truths every day, can have a great, powerful, penetrating impact on those with whom we come into contact. Let's pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to you for all of your blessings. We are grateful for your Son and for his sacrificial death on the cross, validating his love for us. We are thankful that because of what he did on the cross, we have access to salvation. And our destinies have been drastically and eternally changed. Help us to live lives in harmony with the gospel message. Help us to relate to our friends and families and others in such a way that we can impact their lives for good, to the degree that they'll be able to spend eternity with you. Bless this congregation. Bless the elders and the deacons and ministers and all of the members of this congregation. May they always take seriously the mission that they are on as your people. May their efforts be crowned with success. Always keep them in your protective care. In your Son's blessed name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.